excited. I saw Paul was excited. It's okay. You had your excited face on as you were holding it like that. Your excited face on. I'm excited. Jesus, you are Lord of all. I'm going to open us in prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to come and just praise your holy name and just come together in fellowship, Father, and open up your scriptures, Father. Teach us and guide us and direct us. Lead us in wisdom, Father. Holy Spirit, you draw. You draw tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I have been preaching in 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to start there again tonight. Just real quick. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. I'm going to read in the Amplified. Sorry, Sean. And so faith, hope, love, abide. Faith, conviction, and belief respecting man's relation to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. Amen, Lyric. See, faith, which we talked about, is believing, being convinced, knowing. Hope are those great expectations that come from that faith. And now we're going to talk about love. So go to 1 Corinthians 12. Just slip over there. I'm going to be reading 12 through 31. I read fast, don't worry. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Ashley. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head or the feet, I will have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker, they're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body. Underline that. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Oh, I like that. See where I'm going here? And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. See, we're a team. Got a couple coaches in here, they know that. You're a team. Every team member has a part to play. Every team member has got to do their part if the team's going to accomplish their goal. Doesn't matter what position you play. It really doesn't. It makes no difference. Everyone has to do their part. As a body of Christ, we're a team. We care about each other. We love each other. We love the Lord. And that's why we're able to love those that are sometimes not so lovely. Because it takes that. I'm going to slip into 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have no love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. Ooh, I need to work on my love. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For we now see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And here's the scripture I started with. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest is love. Why do you think the greatest is love? You ever thought about that? That's what started this whole thing. Everybody knows that scripture. God so loved the world. Right? It's what started everything. It was His love for us that started everything. He knew what was going to happen. Didn't matter. Jesus knew He was going to die on the cross. He knew. Didn't matter. It was love that drove Him. Again, going back to a team. I've been on teams where guys didn't really like each other. Some great players. I mean, some good players. Individually, you'd look at them and say, ooh, that's what you want. Ooh, that's what you want. Ooh, ooh. You put them together, it was a mess. Mess. It was just a mess. Because they didn't care for each other. They were playing for themselves. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. They absolutely didn't care what the what the coach was saying. They were doing it for themselves. And all the talent was there. It was there. Now, fortunately, I played on some good teams. Some great teams. And I can, some of the greatest teams I've played for. I had a picture. They sent it. This is bad. My friends have to be careful. Okay, I am on Facebook. I never post anything. I really don't know how. Seriously, you think I'm lying? I don't know how, really. It's okay, but I see things, and I can see, and I keep track of my nieces and my nephews. I can find out what's going on. Read these things. But my buddies, every once in a while, will throw up a picture. They threw up a picture of about 28 years ago or something, and it's a picture of me and my center fielder, and we were about to go meet Bob Gibson and Raleigh Fingers. Yeah. Because we were in the Junior College World Series. And we were playing for a national championship. And those guys, we were tight. And to be honest, we weren't all that good in some areas, but we were good as a team. And I can honestly say we loved each other. We cared about each other. We'd lay down as much as 20-year-old guys could, lay down our lives for each other, as much as we understood. And it showed. And even now, all these years later, we're in contact. You know? And that relationship has gone on. And you say, well, why are you bringing that up, Monty? You're just talking sports. We are a body. We are a team. Now, that said, just because we come here Saturday night doesn't mean we're not teammates with those who go Sunday morning. If Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, they're my teammate. Now, I'll be honest with you. On the teams I've played on, all the goofy pitchers that I spent all the time with, I was close to those guys. I was close to some of the other guys, too. I might not have been as close to some of them, but I still cared about them. See what I'm saying? We're in more proximity here. Just like I was talking to Amy about joints. You know, it talks about the body. I mean, if you got a broken ankle, your toes swell up. Everything, the swelling goes. The joints in proximity suffer greatly, more greatly. Like my head doesn't really hurt too bad when my ankle's twisted. Now my toe may hurt, my leg may hurt, because it's swelling too. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? So you're in proximity, but it doesn't mean that the thumb still isn't part of the body. Care about the thumb too. I might need to grab something. If I'm the foot, I better walk. If I'm the eye, I better see. If I'm the ear, I better hear. But our motivation to be any of those parts has to be love. And it has to be love for the Father first. You've heard me preach about that if you've been around. See, love has to be our motivating factor. Our love of God has to motivate us to listen to Him, to hear what He's saying, and then to act. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. You guys are going to be real happy with me tonight. John 14, verse 15. Very simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. The Amplified says, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. He who loves me will obey me. That's what I remember. And it's not an obedience out of, oh, he's going to smack me, he's going to pound me. It's my motivation to please him and to be in right relation with my teammates and to do what I'm supposed to do. See? That's what has to motivate us. And the big thing, I mean, the big thing, you know, isn't the, you got to pray 2 hours every day. You got to read, you know, 4 chapters here every night. That's not it. It's just listening to him and then doing what he says. Now, if he says to read 4 chapters, I encourage you to do that. But if he doesn't, don't do it and think that that's, see what I did for you, God. Doesn't make a difference. What makes a difference is your love for him, see. It's a simple message tonight because I'm just getting started. I'm going to be preaching on love for the next few Saturday evenings because there's a lot to it. And yes, there are different kinds of loves. And I'll go into those too. But I just wanted to open this up tonight and just talk about that and talk about that motivation. And y'all go home and pray about it. See, one of the commands that God gives us, go to Matthew since we're already here, or close. Go to Matthew 28. I'm going to read 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. He says, go. Sounds like a command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. That's one of the commands we have. And tonight we get to do one of those things. We're going to baptize Ashley tonight. Now, that's exciting, huh? That's exciting. Amen. That's exciting. Now we're going to do it different, just so you know. We're going to do it different. We're going to do it once we conclude, and we're going to do it at Rocky Mountain Physical Therapy because they got a nice warm pool. And so they let us do that, so I have the key. And we already got it set, so we're ready, Ashley. What's that? Hey, there's nothing wrong with the river. I was baptized in a lake in Montana in, April, May. I think there was ice floating by. Yeah. I mean, so yes, we've done that before, but we're nicer. See, we love that. There's love there. But she really did. She asked me. She wanted to be baptized. She understood. Amen. And understand what baptism is. It's a public display of your faith. That's what it is. Ashley knows that Jesus is her Lord and Savior. She knows it. She's already saved. She's already saved. Understand that. The baptism doesn't save her. She's already saved. But she's just being obedient. She's just being obedient because she loves the Father. So understand that we're going to do this tonight and rejoice with her. But she's just proclaiming publicly what she knows. I like the last part of that. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As this world gets goofier, I'm telling you, it's going to be love that drives God's people. It's going to be love that drives God's people. I know it. It said it's going to last. It's going to abide forever, right? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. Well, I'm guaranteeing you, these last days, the church is going to be known by the love they have for one another. We're also going to be known for the love we have for the Father by our obedience. See? And it's exciting. And it's fun. Be encouraged. Come to me. It's so funny. All I got to do is put my hands out and shoot. Nope. Nope. I didn't want to go long tonight on purpose. I'm excited about what's happening. Understand, these are all foundational things that we're laying in this region. We're laying a strong foundation. But understand that foundation is love. Yes, the foundation is Christ. Absolutely. But it's our love of Him that's going to build walls and doors and roofs and a structure where people will be drawn because the Holy Spirit will be there. Does that make sense? One of the coolest things that I've heard more than one person say is when they come here, they feel loved. And we're just little. We're just folks. We're just folks, guys. And Lord knows I'm not the best preacher in the world. I can't pronounce half the words. It is okay, isn't it? Doesn't bother me either. Doesn't bother me either, just so you know. But understand, I do love you guys. That's why I'm here. Because I'm being obedient. So you're stuck with me. But I know you guys have love too. Everybody feels it. Understand that. And that's important because we are known by the love we have for one another. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to close this a little early tonight. Some people be like, yeehaw. Okay. I'm not a great communicator, my wife always says. If y'all want to watch Ashley be baptized, it's just, I mean, I can almost see it from here. It's right across from the hospital, kitty corner. You'll have to go around Holiday Inn Express, come back in front of my office, and it'll be right there on your right. Okay, you can't miss it. As you turn to the dentist. That's right. It's right there. And you'll see, we'll be there. If not, that's okay too. That's okay. I am going to close this in prayer, and if anyone needs prayer, we're going to pray too. If anyone has questions about baptism, come ask me. If anyone has questions about Jesus and the truth that there is an eternity and that you're going to spend it someplace, and Jesus assures you of where you'll be able to spend it. If you have any questions about that, come talk to me. But I am ending us early. I'm excited about these love messages that the Lord's going to give us. Because it's going to propel us into the next season. So Father, thank you for allowing us to come together tonight and fellowship. and look at your scriptures, Father. Father, we do love you. We know you love us. Continue to guide us, Father. Give us wisdom. Bless Ashley and Lyric and Quentin and her family. And we thank you for her and her obedience. Watch over us and bless us as we go about our week. In Jesus' name, amen.